We're back on the Hammer Down Show, 101.7 Hammer, 101.7hammer.com. Let's go right to the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline as the Purdue football team now getting set for second-ranked Ohio State practice. And the prep beginning today for the Buckeyes. And Matt Stevens is with us from goldenblack.com, Purdue football beat writer. And good afternoon, Matt. How you doing?
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing just fine. How about some of your mid-season grades or trophies? Who are you honoring at the midpoint here for Purdue football?
Well, kind of hard to not mention David Blough and the transformation that has happened in the last four games for that quarterback. When we come into a season and we think that if David Blough is going to win the starting job, it's going to have to be a game manager type situation where they're going to have to limit what they can do vertically down the field. And it seemed like the minute that Jeff Brohm arrived at the park on a Saturday night against Missouri, that just got blown out of the water. And they're doing a lot of different things with David that I didn't think they were going to be able to do. And you've got a head coach that has admitted that through the first three games of the year, he probably didn't coach David Blough the way he should have. So I think there's a lot of credit that goes to the quarterback. There's a lot of credit that goes with the head coach and the quarterback development. And that's where I get pointed to immediately when you talk about this turnaround from 0-3 to 3-3.
We were talking about how that was like a, if you have an MVP at this point, it's David Blough. If you have a newcomer, it's Rondell Moore. But how about defensively? Who's your midseason MVP on the defensive side of the ball so far?
Cornell Jones, because you didn't know what you were going to get at the linebacker position besides Marcus Bailey, and you didn't know who was going to be able to help in terms of a pass rushing situation if the D line wasn't able to do it by themselves. And clearly, they're not able to do it by themselves right now. So what you've got is you've got Cornell Jones and you've got Jacob Thieneman right now, really doing their part in Nick Holt's blitz schemes. Again, these last three wins that have really shown up, and you got a guy that's up near the lead in tackles, and a guy that has really solidified the middle linebacker spot, which has allowed Nick Holt to do a whole bunch of different stuff with Marcus Bailey and how they want to line him up. And it's also allowed Derek Barnes to do a little bit of hybrid defensive end linebacker situation to help out that D-line. So I think Cornell Jones and what he's been able to do throughout this entire season, let alone this three-game winning streak, has been big on this defensive side of the ball to me.
Matt, I'm going off of some of the information you have on the Golden Black Express Illustrated, which I love, by the way. I printed off the whole thing, and I look at this thing. You guys do a great job of putting in a ton of information for the games coming up. But talking about Haskins, and obviously one thing I preach about is practice, and you practice, you play the way that you practice and getting a good look in practice. Let's talk about Haskins here, and where he ranks in the country. 28, which is first for touchdowns. He's third for yardage with over 2,300. Completion percentage, 72.3% of his passes are completed, which is third. Completions, 175, which is third. And then 9.6 yards per completion, which is tied for fifth, and he's coming off back-to-back 200-yard passing games. Can we put Sindelar back there as a scout team quarterback to give our defense a good look at what they're going to see on Saturday?
You could, except for I think Haskins is a heck of a lot better athlete when he wants to pull it down and maybe get some yards than Elijah is. I don't know if Purdue has a guy that they can replicate that young man. And what's so striking to me, Stuart, is the idea that, and you can appreciate this, but when you line up and you see Ohio State on the schedule, you're immediately going to think run first and then play action pass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've flipped the script on not only what Ohio State has looked like, but throughout his entire coaching career, what Urban Meyer has looked like. The one thing you didn't say, and I'll say it now, is that Ohio State's never finished top three in passing yardage in the Big Ten, but for 1 year, the 2014 season when they won the Big Ten, when they won the national championship. And they're leading the conference right now in passing yards. It's a complete transformation of this Ohio State offense with that young man under center and that Heisman Trophy candidate behind center, because it is a pass first offense, and it is an offense that Jeff Brohm recognizes very, very much, because it's an offense that loves to throw it on first down. And then when they get a big lead, they like to put the game away with their running game, which they feel like still with some interior linemen that are still new and developing at Ohio State this year, they feel like they can win the game that way later. But they can't rely on their interior line right now early on in games to basically suffocate a defense. So they have to have Hank Haskins and his big play ability get him through early on and get him that big lead. So I just think that the numbers that he's putting up are clearly, willing or worthy of being mentioned among the candidates to go to New York for the Heisman. And it's also telling to me that he's on pace to break the Ohio State single season passing record in the next three games. I mean, he's 4 yards away from number 10 overall. And if he has any kind of games like he's been having the last couple of weeks, he'll have it by the beginning of November, that record by the end of November. And you just don't hear, I know Troy Smith won a Heisman, but you don't hear quarterback all that often with Ohio State, but he is the absolute number one spotlighted athlete on that Ohio State offense. And there's just no doubt about that. You have to stop Ohio State or at least slow them down throwing the football first before you can ever think about winning on first, second, and third down.
Matt Stevens with us, Purdue football beat writer, goldenblack.com on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Go ahead, Stuart.
Yeah, one thing I noticed the last 2 weeks watching Ohio State's defense play against Indiana and Minnesota, one thing that surprised me and one thing I haven't been impressed with is their coverage on the back end, their corners and safeties. And obviously we're talking about a Buckeyes defense who is banged up. You know, obviously we talked about Nick Bosa being gone, linebacker Harrison, Deanne, Jonathan Cooper, along with cornerback Arnett and D-tackle Robert Landers. How can Purdue take advantage of kind of a defense that is struggling and really hasn't found an identity this season?
So, Stuart, I believe it is a complete flip philosophy than what they saw against Illinois. What they saw against Illinois was a flat cover two defense that allows the middle of the field to be open if you can make those types of throws. And then that will loosen up a defense and make them adjust so that you can hit them over the top. Ohio State, I believe, is the complete opposite. I believe that they take away the middle of the field and they force you to beat them over the top. Well, guess what? That's exactly what Jeff Brohm wants you to do philosophically, because he loves throwing the deep ball. They practice it more than any other team I've ever covered in my entire career of throwing deep balls vertically down the field. I have a story that should be coming out this week in goldenblack.com about three specific reasons as to why Jeff Brohm's offense has been so notorious for big plays. I'm talking about plays over 30 yards, 40 yards. This year they are tied for third in FBS with plays over 40 yards, and they have 17. And they're tied with Clemson and Alabama in that category. So anytime that you mention it with those types of programs, you're doing something completely right. And Jeff Brohm would love to throw over the top of these cornerbacks, but I think that the Ohio State defensive philosophy basically dares you to do it because they don't think a whole lot of quarterbacks that they're going to face are going to be able to do it against them. And if you try to do it, we'll just have our safeties play center field and pick passes off. And that's kind of the philosophy that they've had, but they've been burned on it. Not only because of the Nick Bosa injury has kind of limited their pass rush ability, but it's also, basically shown how vulnerable they are in the secondary with some younger pieces to balls over the top. And I think they have to be leery on Saturday night at Ross-Ave Stadium of allowing receivers like an Isaac Zico, like a Rondell Moore, get behind them. Because if that's the case, Purdue does not shy away. And Jeff Brohm will not stop being aggressive as to throwing those deep balls over the top of a defense.
Matt, you mentioned Dwayne Haskins there earlier and what a tremendous season he's having. What kind of stresses does that put on Purdue's defense? Because clearly, I mean, this is going to be their biggest test up to this point. I know Drew Locke was rock solid there a few weeks ago, but this is going to be a whole different animal, right?
Yeah, it's a whole different animal in two regards. One is that I think, Drew Locke doesn't really want to take off and run. I think he's a traditional, what you see in the NFL, even though they're spreading you out a lot more in the NFL, I do feel like he wants to beat you with his arm. I feel like Haskins can take off and get a first down, just like David Blau has proven the last couple of weeks that he can do as well, and has the ability to do that. But I also think from a Purdue defensive standpoint, it's a completely different ballgame and a completely different team. For whatever reason, Purdue and Nick Holt decided that rushing three and dropping eight was going to be the plan of action against Drew Locke. Mostly, again, because I don't think they thought Drew Locke could take off. So I thought covering with eight was the thing to do. I think they've basically ditched that. They've decided that if we don't get pressure on the quarterback, we can't win, and we can't get, you know, we have no chance to get off the field. So what I feel like you could possibly see is the potential for a lot of big plays because this Purdue defense is going to be so aggressive. I think they're going to send, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys at Haskins and try to get negative plays and try to get sacks, because that they feel like that's the only way they're going to get off the field and get into major third and long situations, which is where they want to live. So I don't believe you'll see Purdue sit back and let Haskins, you know, pick them apart or try to get him to throw interceptions. I feel like they're going to come straight at him and be more aggressive and try to get sacks, try to get negative plays, and try to get him rattled that way.
You know, Matt, one thing we noticed yesterday was the comparison between Purdue's running game and Ohio State's, and really they're neck and neck. I mean, Ohio State's got about 1,200 rushing yards this season. Purdue's got 1,000. Ohio State's averaging 4.5 yards per play. Purdue's actually averaging 5.2. And per game averages per team is 185 Ohio State, 179 Purdue. Talk to the listeners and us a little bit about Ohio State's running game and what you think of it.
Well, I think they have the talent. They've got a back that's coming back that had 1,400 yards last year. So anytime that happens, you feel like, I think a lot of people felt like Ohio State, Stewart, was going to be run first and then try to develop the pass as we go along. Simply because Haskins won the job late or early in fall camp. It wasn't like a spring decision. And it seemed like that there was still some debate and whether or not who was going to win that job, whether it was Haskins or Burrow, who ended up at LSU, or Tate Martell. And so from that standpoint, you thought the development was going to be with the pass game. What we didn't realize, again, like I said before, Stewart, is that their interior guards, guard to guard, guard center and guard at Ohio State, are relatively new and they're inexperienced, and they've had to develop just as well. And when you have that and you can only really run, you know, around the perimeter, that's not where Ohio State really wants to live right now. So I feel like when defenses get softened up and they don't put as many people in the box, that's when they feel like they can run the football, and that's when they've been able to win games through the run game later on and try to control the clock that way. But it is still impressive to me, or at least noticeable to me, Stewart, that teams, despite having a Heisman Trophy candidate in the backfield at quarterback, are still loading up the box with 8 or 9 guys and saying Ohio State's not going to beat us running the football. And it seems like Urban Meyer and his offensive staff have said, that's fine with us. We'll just throw it over the top of you. And so I really think in these last 5 games that Ohio State's going to play, defenses are going to have to adjust to a new era of Ohio State football under Urban Meyer and respect that Haskins can beat them and beat them early. Because if you get down to this Ohio State team, they have the beasts up front on defense to really come after the quarterback and make life miserable for you. So I really think you're going to see Nick Holt respect Haskins and figure that Purdue's going to throw the football and throw it often and early on Saturday night.
Going to be an interesting game, no question about that. Matt Stevens, Purdue football beat writer, goldenblack.com. Matt, thanks so much for joining us, man. Have a great week.
You too, guys. Have a good one.
When we come back, we'll talk more about what Matt had to say. Also have a stupid sports stat for the day in regard to Purdue's big plays that Matt touched on there just a little bit. We'll do that next on the Hammer Down Show. 101.7 The Hammer, 101.7thehammer.com.
Listen up, golfers. 2019 Purdue golf cards are now on sale at the Burke Boilermaker Golf Complex for the special price of $40. Plus, purchase your 2019 golf card now and use it for the remainder of 2018. The Purdue golf card is designed to give you a more competitive rate to play the Camden course and the newly renovated Ackerman Allen course at Purdue. Receive discounted golf rates all year long. Save up to $40 on every round. Visit the Pete Dye Clubhouse or go to